Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 15 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 28 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information, links to social media, or to make a donation to help keeping this podcast going strong. Thank you.
Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast, all things LGBT weddings. We're very excited to be back with our first podcast of 2016. Took a few weeks off for the holidays and getting things going with our various work tasks here at the office through January. We're off to a great start with our tour of LGBT wedding expos. We've already hit Jersey City and Raleigh, North Carolina this past weekend. Had two fabulous shows and saw an amazing rainbow over Manhattan when I was in Jersey City in mid-January. I mean, I could see, it's amazing I didn't see the leprechauns because I could see both ends of that rainbow right there over Freedom Tower. It was amazing. Yeah, anyway, we're off to a great start. You know, that says it all. Rainbows over Manhattan for 2016. It's the first year, ladies and gentlemen, when LGBT couples can be married in every state in the country for 365 days and nights. So, big year, big milestone. Again, my name's Mary Ann, one of the co-founders of Rainbow Wedding Network. I'm here with my partner, Cindy.
Hello.
And Ira.
Hi.
Our number one wingman. And we look forward to talking with you today about 2016 ceremony trends for LGBT weddings. We're also going to talk about some DIY tips.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun because there's so many couples who got engaged over the holidays or are about to get engaged over Valentine's. So great time to talk about these topics. And of course, with our current events, we want to touch on the elections and what's going on there. So let's get started. Cindy, you want to start us off with 2016 trends?
Yes, but first I do like to comment on that 365 days of marriage. I think that's awesome. It's our first...
Yeah, 365 Days of Marriage Equality.
That's right. It's our first
title
year.
Of our book.
That's right. The first year that that can happen. How exciting, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a very big deal.
We should have fireworks.
Yeah, we should. We should have fireworks and sparkles and all kinds of fun things, right? But, no, it is very exciting.
Sparkles
make
it fabulous.
I mean, we've been in business 16 years. Yeah. 16 years. We have waited a long time to see... the first year that marriage can be legalized, or it's, you know, marriage is available, 365 days. So, very exciting, very exciting. But some, let's talk about exciting. I mean, Pantone released their spring 2016 top 10 colors.
Yeah.
How exciting is that?
And this applies now.
Now.
Because the Supreme Court said it did. It applies not just to the straight couples, right? Right.
Exactly. And yes, and Pantone releases these colors every year, right?
Yes, they do.
For a long time,
yes,
they've been releasing these colors. Now, how they tweak these colors, I am not quite sure, but...
How they come up with them?
How they come
I
up with them.
I don't know. They have psychics or something and a panel that forecasts which ones are going to be the most popular.
Because have you ever seen one of those books, one of the Pantone...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're...
Huge.
They're huge. Mm-hmm. And there's just... You know, you can start with the reds, and there's just a gazillion colors of everything. But,
a gay man's dream. All those swatches in one place? Are you kidding me?
Right. And you know what's fun is if you go onto their website, they will show you not only... I downloaded the report of the top 10 colors.
You have researched this thoroughly.
Yes, but what's really cool is you can go and you can see what their complementary colors are to each one of these.
Oh, I know. And a few years ago, because we did produce a print magazine for many years, and being the senior editor, I looked at these things and did my research at that time. And I can tell you that it has changed quite a bit in terms of how many secondary colors
right.
are going with that basic ceremony color. One or two mm-hmm. main colors, and then you got the secondaries. And I think it's really beautiful because, you know, if you are going all out with your wedding and really serious about your color schemes and all of this polish that can go along with that, and you do stay true to not just a couple of basic colors, which was what we all did back in the day.
Right, exactly.
And now you've got these secondaries coming in to support that. It's beautiful.
Yes.
The outcome is just, it can be startlingly beautiful when you walk into a reception that has been planned out that way.
So they make it really easy for you.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you are a little hesitant on, will this actually go together?
Yeah.
You can kind of test that waters.
Yeah. So, and it's all right there online.
I know.
You know, you don't have to go to, like, the Home Depot and pick swatches and put them on your table.
That's how Marianne did our wedding. We went to Home Depot. We picked swatches.
They had some great swatches coming.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, but you could see them all online. And, of course, colors there are a little bit different than what you might find in the real fabrics. But it's yep. very convenient to look at these things and decide what does go together for you.
Yep, yeah, simple.
So what are some of the hot colors?
Well, rose quartz.
Oh, yeah.
We got peach echo.
Really?
Yeah, peach
echo. Sound beachy.
Yeah. Serenity was very pretty. I thought serenity was very pretty.
You're going to have to tell us what that means.
That was kind of like a powder blue or something. Oh.
We'll have to get these on the blog or a link or somewhere right, couples right. can see this.
And then you had snorkel blue, which is like a darker blue. Mm-hmm. And then I thought of you, buttercup. Because I don't know, that buttercup just says Marianne to me. So. very festive. And that was the nice thing is they had a lot. I mean, they have 10, and so you have buttercup and you have limpet shell, which I thought you would like. It's kind of like a cyan, kind of like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I do like that.
Bluish, light bluish green.
And they've been playing with the cyans for a couple of years now. Those have continued to be a
yes.
trend. Absolutely. People still are stuck on that. That with chocolate.
Well, I was going to say that with chocolate.
Yeah,
we've seen that a lot.
For years, we've seen that. It changes. It, you know, the cyan is relatively new, but that chocolate.
And this was a little, you don't think, how in the world can they change this color enough? But they really did change that cyan just a scooch mm-hmm. to make it. It is very beachy.
Yeah.
Lilac gray, I thought was very pretty, too.
Oh, yeah. That sounds nice.
Fiesta. So if you really wanted, that was like a...
Sounds
like,
orange.
Yeah, it was like an orangey red.
Yeah.
Like, poof, if you really wanted that. And then you're just iced coffee.
Nice.
You know, so if you want that kind of muted, you know, what am I trying to say? Khaki, but it's not really khaki. It's more like, think of iced coffee.
Yeah.
We don't have one right here in front of us.
It's organic.
Right.
Without being the deep chocolate.
Exactly.
Yes. That can also be a good base color to build off of. Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So neutral and...
Mm-hmm. And if you're very brave, you have green flash. Those are the top 10 colors.
Did they spotlight any metallics?
No.
Interesting,
no.
Because that was pretty hot, you know, the last couple of years, too. Right. Especially to bring them in as accent colors.
Right. Yep, they did not. But like I said, you can visit their website. They have really neat complimentary colors there that you can see all of that fun thing. So I think there's a little bit for everybody there.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
I like the
all seasons are covered mm-hmm. and of course
and personalities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you are bold and you have that big bold personality and you want to go with Green Flash or Fiesta, go for it. Mm-hmm.
And of course a lot of couples think about flowers before they actually
yes.
settle on the colors because they might not want or they might like a particular flower might be of interest to them. Before the color of the flower. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so then that helps them settle on the exact colors they want. Or they might, apparel takes a big part in this. It
mm-hmm.
might be, oh, I don't look good in flash green, so I don't want that to be one of my colors. I look good in the, you know, muted coffee color. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to have that with the bridesmaids' dresses or whatever. And so...
Those
sometimes take precedent, and then you decide on your colors from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you went right to florals, which is great, too. One of the things that I love that has been a trend for a while, but I love this, is the farm-to-wedding trend.
Mm-hmm. I do love that.
Love that.
Yeah.
You know how we are all so much into, like, farm-to-table.
Yeah.
You know, we want to eat locally. We want to have we want to go to restaurants that have locally grown food. We are into the organics, and where we live, of course, is such a great area for that. But, you know, the trend with florals has been going, you get your flowers that are seasonal. You don't pick something for your wedding that's, when you have your wedding that's not seasonal. Also going to your local farm.
Right.
And buying the flowers. Whether you're going to do your own flower, we'll get into that with the DIY segment, but whether you're going to do them or you're going to have a florist, you know, you can specifically say, I want to buy my flowers from this local farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of farms out here that grow flowers and sell them in the tailgate markets everywhere else, you know. So I love that, the farm to wedding. That's pretty awesome. And the way that the bouquets are being designed, mm-hmm. are more of that look of you just gathered flowers from the garden.
Yeah.
It's not that, you don't see as much as that tight bouquet that's, you know, precisely put together.
It's natural beauty, not so much the planned and meticulously placed. Not that that's not beautiful in and of itself.
Right.
But that little bit of natural beauty.
Yeah.
That is the trend now.
That is the
trend. Very well said, Ira.
Yeah,
yes.
is more of that, you know, it's just that free form.
Yeah.
Bouquet, mm-hmm. instead of the very precise bouquet.
Same thing in the centerpieces and.
Yes.
You know, absolutely, that is very trendy.
Yep, right from the garden look. You uh-huh. know, and also using unusual vines or foliage.
Nice.
That's another thing.
Those are great accents too to use.
Yes.
Not just in florals per se, but if you're having a larger wedding and you have a seating chart of some kind, sometimes people create a very neat way to put together the little labels that are used for the seating chart, and they often mm-hmm. use vines or branches of some sort to display those, or other items you might display, whether it's artwork or photographs of you and your partner. Sometimes couples will have those hanging on branches of some kind, and just very, again, the natural beauty.
Yeah, they still say the, you know, you're still finding a lot of, like, rustic barn.
Yeah.
That chic rustic.
I think that suits a lot of gay and lesbian couples. You know, certainly many want the polish and the flair of the traditional look for a wedding, but a lot of, you know, gay and lesbian couples want more of the natural beauty. Lesbians,
yes.
A lot of times, there's lipstick lesbians, certainly, but there are a lot of lesbians who don't necessarily want to wear any makeup or a lot of makeup, and so their trend already within their personality is that natural beauty. So going that way with your florals too is just an obvious way to, you know, support that whole theme.
And I love one of the things talking about centerpieces. I love that trend where not all the tables have to look identical.
Yeah,
you know, you can have a centerpiece that's there are, and I've seen some really neat centerpieces too that talk about the farm to table that are incorporating food,
yeah.
like, you know, petite fruit,
right.
you know, or coffee beans, or just, you know, you can go with all kinds of different things, but tables don't have to be perfectly set up exactly the same.
Right.
You know, you can do a centerpiece on this table that's reflective of this. You can do a centerpiece with this table that's reflective of that.
And that fits in with another trend that's hot right now, which is not so much the assigned seating, but the way that couples really want to invite people to get up and mingle and walk around. And they're setting up food stations to invite that rather than the seated dinners, you know. And that, of course, is a trend because more and more couples, I mean, I always wanted this back in the day, but more and more couples seem to be getting on board with it, that they want their wedding to be interactive where people actually talk to each other. They don't just sit there, watch the ceremony, and then sit with their, you know, spouse or their immediate family and go home. I mean, you know, couples really want to engage everyone, and they want everyone, you know, you might not have seen Aunt Sally for 10 years. They want to make sure that you guys get a chance to talk at the wedding.
And also the trend, too, of not having just 60-inch rounds.
Yeah.
Having the long, you know, banquet type of table.
Yeah,
you know,
family style.
But yeah, the family style versus just these, you know, big rounds in a room, and you're delegated to your round, and there's going to be eight people, and that's who you sit and look at for you know, the entire reception. So that's...
Well, what my point was, though, I don't know that I made it clear, is that the differentiating in decor, like with your different centerpieces, invites people to get up and go look at each one.
Yes.
So if you have differentiated decor, whether it is centerpieces or it is just accents on different tables, food tables, artsy tables, the gift table, you know, it invites people to get up and go look. Mm-hmm. And that helps people move.
And then on a... Back to the bouquet, mm-hmm. Another trend is instead of having, you know, if you are a couple that's going down the aisle and one of you or both of you want to carry a bouquet, that's great. But if you have your best people mm-hmm. and they're coming down, you want them to carry something, it can be something alternative to flowers. Mm-hmm. So the most beautiful wedding, where was it, like a sunset wedding, and all of the best people carried little lanterns.
Oh.
Like, it was gorgeous. It was, yeah. like, brilliant, you know, because florals are really expensive. I mean, you know, we'll get into that with the do-it-yourself segment, but that's a great way of saving if you wanted to save, you know, some money on your wedding tour.
Well, plus the lanterns then become a keepsake.
Exactly. It can become mm-hmm. a favor for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I thought, so that people are using alternative types of bouquets, not necessarily flowers, but... other items as well. So
that's neat.
Keep that in mind.
A lot of symbolism there too, and
yeah.
perfect ambiance as you're walking down. The gay man comes out at me there.
We touched the core, but that's all I have.
Excellent.
On my trends.
Well, we recently spoke with Kelly Teves at Angelic Affairs Wedding and Event Planning and Floral Design. She's based in Rhode Island and Beverly Hills, and she spoke to us a little bit about some of the 2016 trends that she's been seeing as an event planner. She says couples often come to her very much wanting a creative wedding. You know, they want to do something different, something custom, something true to themselves, but they don't know what. And that's one reason why it is great to have a wedding coordinator.
Right.
To help with that. And so she talks a lot about, you know, really sitting, having coffee or tea, and really getting to know the couple so that she can help narrow things down for them, whether they want it to be a wedding about their story, you know, sort of based on where they met, how they met, or based on their likes, mm-hmm. what, you know, their favorite activities to do as a couple. So there's all kinds of options there. But if you are one of those couples that wants to do something really personalized, but not sure what, you are not alone.
Right.
You can talk to your wedding coordinator, talk to your officiant, talk to your friends. There's all kinds of wedding themes that are going on right now that aren't necessarily the, you know, the common themes.
Right.
There's a lot of very personalized themes that are happening. For instance, Kelly mentioned with one couple, she was talking to them, and what came forward was one partner's past career as a pinup model, the other's career as an entertainer, and a proposal taking place on an island. Mixing those ideas led to a vintage 1950s Coney Island theme.
Oh, fun.
With the ceremony set on a stage, so it was reminiscent of a stage show. So, I mean, you know, you can just be so different in terms of what you think of when you think traditional wedding.
Right.
But it's personalized and really fun for you, fun for your guests, and really speaks, you know, like you were saying, Ira, to the symbolism of what you're doing in terms of committing to each other there.
It's like couples therapy from the beginning.
Well, that's true.
You get to, well, you get to focus on what is, what, how are you, how does it represent you?
Right.
As
yeah,
a
and
couple,
I think that's
as
fabulous.
An individual, how is your wedding representing you? And, great couples therapy from the beginning.
It is. And I think as guests, you really appreciate that because it gives you insights into the couple personally, and it's fun. It's fun to go to a wedding like that.
And I think what you started off with is that has become a trend.
Yes. Yes,
I think,
exactly.
I think that's fantastic, is weddings have become so personalized that, yeah. that's the trend.
True, true.
Love
yes.
it. Love it.
Kelly also mentioned that the vintage 1920s and 30s weddings are still pretty hot right now. The Gatsby weddings, that kind of thing. She said, you know, vintage apparel can be difficult to find. Look online, look early to help find what you want because it can be a little tricky. So you want to give yourself lots of leeway in terms of finding that apparel that you are have your heart set on. Some couples invite their guests, if they're having a vintage style wedding, to go ahead and dress in that era.
Fun.
That's fun too. Another trend that we're seeing is that grooms are trending towards suits instead of tuxes.
Nice.
Maybe navy blue or even patterned, not necessarily all black. A lot are getting a little more casual, wearing khakis with a shirt and a jacket, or maybe even a vest with khakis. Maybe even having the shirt untucked, you know, very sexy, very trendy. So that's sort of a 2016 thing that we've got going on. I almost thought we were in 2017 already. Time's going so fast. Couples are changing up their food and beverage choices too. Going for those craft beers, of course, that's very hot right now. Custom wines. A lot of couples, Kelly says, again, she's with Angelic Affairs, saying a lot of couples are steering away from alcohol altogether.
Wow.
I find that a little hard to believe with the LGBT community, but, you know, she does say there are some couples that are choosing to have a soda bar or something like that at their wedding instead.
That's called Saver.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, some couples find a food truck works well for the catering.
That's fun.
You know, especially for those outdoors weddings. Although some of the bigger venues, you can bring a food truck right on in to the venue space, too. If you want to have that barbecue that you love so much or whatever. It can be really fun for your guests to be able to go up to that food truck and place their order. You know, it can just be fun. And again, a way to interact. As opposed to, you sit here, eat what is given to you. You
know? It's an overall experience. Exactly. It's not just so cookie cutter, you're in a line. And I think that's a little more fun, too, to be outside the box and not feel like you've got the real white wedding where everyone's too afraid to let themselves out a little bit more.
I think you nailed it on the head, Ira, that it's a wedding experience now is the trend. And that speaks so well to LGBT weddings because we've waited so long to get married. And for this right, that we want to make it all, you know, we want to make it true to ourselves, personalized, not necessarily all about us, but we want to make it personalized to us.
Right.
We want to make it authentic. And we want to invite the guests to join us in that authenticity, which means a wedding experience as opposed to just a wedding. So
I love it.
Very nicely said. Pies, of course, a wedding cake still most popular, but some couples are trending toward pies or cupcake trees and different things like that. Although most couples, even when they have those alternative desserts, they tend to have a cake too. And a lot of couples are very set, not that this hasn't been the case, but it is the case more now than it has been the last couple of years, is very set on high quality photography. They really want to invest in that. And that's where a big part of their budget dollars are going. Is they want to make sure those photographs represent them and capture their joy. And a lot of them are wanting vintage looks to the photos, not just the standard looks. A lot of them want the 35 millimeter, you know, as opposed to just digital. So,
yay.
Very big trend.
That makes my heart happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for our 2016 trends. In terms of the wedding itself. But now we're going to talk about something really fun, which is travel trends.
Gonna hit the road.
And you're gonna go on that honeymoon.
Yeehaw. Yeah. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
Some of the things, and I did a little more research on the travel aspect of what's trending right now, and some things would actually kind of surprise you. I looked over at our friends at Orbitz, and they had some great suggestions for destinations. But one of the trends that seems to be emerging a little bit more is kind of staying at home, experiencing everything, all the beauty that's in your back door, from America's small towns to natural parks like Yellowstone. So there's a lot to be said about staying at home, and, you know, whether it's the road trip or there's another part of the country you want to see. Some destinations that you wouldn't necessarily think, for instance, Eureka Springs down in Arkansas, while that's a big red state, it's a very open, liberal, welcoming community.
Eureka Springs has been a gay mecca for decades. Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes, though, I think it gets overlooked, but it is a very beautiful, very quaint, small town. There's a lot of fun architecture there, a lot of fun outdoor activities to take part in, so that's a great place here at home. Another thought was taking a drive down Route 66. You hear the fame of Route 66 and in songs and movies, and it's another great way to experience our country. And then if you're heading abroad, some of the great destinations like Thailand, which is a Buddhist nation, is more open and accepting and welcoming, and there's a lot of natural beauty there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a great place. And it's a little more, you know, kid-friendly. There are activities you can do there if you already have a family in place, when you're thinking about family travel and you don't want to so much do, you know, the gay cruise where it's a singles crowd, but you want to go out and experience the nation and its culture and everything they have to offer. Some others on the list were, of course, Paris, which we know is traditionally accepting. Puerto Rico, which now, of course, being U.S. territory, has legal marriage. Ireland, which I think would be a beautiful destination.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those were some of the fun destinations abroad. Other places, they're going back to staying here at home. One of our Artaban vendors, Mount Baker Lodging, out in the Pacific Northwest, also offers a lot of outdoor activity. There are a lot of outdoor activities kind of in close range there to Mount Baker. So you have the cabin rentals, so you can stay up in the mountains, and you have skiing and snowboarding and all kinds of fun winter activities, plus the spring activities, whitewater rafting, hiking, mountain climbing, mountain biking. So there's a lot of fun stuff there too.
I think a lot of couples do trend toward the adventure experience.
Yes.
You know, there's definitely more of that in the honeymoons than we've ever seen before.
Yes.
Just like we talked about the wedding experience, people want the travel experience, mm-hmm. not just a, you know, romantic honeymoon at the resort. They do want to have an experience, especially for a lot of LGBT couples that have been together a long time.
Right.
They may have traveled somewhat already together as a couple, so they're not necessarily just needing that romantic getaway after the wedding. They're wanting to really explore in a broader way.
Yeah, so I think travel freedom is a little bit more the trend now, where it's a little more open-ended as opposed to sitting in a specific resort by the pool. Mm-hmm. You can go out and experience it, or maybe it's a destination you've talked about together for years. It's your chance to finally go and take that trip.
And I like the stay vacation idea.
Oh, yeah, that is it.
I mean, you know, if you think about, you're talking about couples that have been together forever. I always joke about you have to pretend you're on vacation in the city that you live in, mm-hmm. because you tend to overlook some of the great things you have in your city because you get busy. And if you have kids like we do, you know, then your 9-year-old is all of a sudden involved in, you know, several activities. And so your free time sometimes gets taken up by making sure you get to the basketball game or dance or whatever that your child is doing, and not necessarily visiting all the great places you have, not just in your back door, you know, out your back door, but in a radius of where you live, you mm-hmm. know. And so that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
It's kind of like planning a road trip that incorporates areas around you that maybe you haven't gone and visited thoroughly. You know, haven't visited the museums or all the fun activities that you can do in that area. So that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, it is a nice idea. And of course, with traveling abroad, there are a lot of travel agents now more and more familiar with putting together gay-friendly packages, and a lot of those experiential packages where you're, you know, where you have a guide in an area, or you might be in Europe and you go to someone's home where they make you dinner, and it's a lot more personalized that way. You hear more a lot those kind of travel experiences. A lot of the travel professionals now a lot more well-versed in where you can go that's gay-friendly, and making sure those experiences are particularly gay-friendly as well. So be sure to ask those questions when you book your vacations, and, you know, don't be shy to let people know about your particular needs and what you're wanting to create so that you have the honeymoon you want.
And travel tip for this year, next year,
yes.
If you have a passport that needs to be renewed, get it renewed quickly. 2006 and 2007 were kind of that first time that places like Canada, you had to have a passport
uh-huh.
instead of just a driver's license. To get on a cruise, now you have to have a passport instead of a driver's license. So lots of people had to go out and get passports in 2006, 2007. Those are all now, you know, up for renewal for that 10-year mm-hmm. renewal. And they are advising that you get that done quickly, because what used to be like a 4-week turnaround time is now turning into 8 weeks. So you could be, you know, crunched for time. Then I didn't realize this either, is if your passport is going to set to expire within like 6 months and you go to board a plane or something like that, you can be denied access if your passport is set to expire within like that 6 month. doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen to you.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, within 6 months of it expiring, you need to get that renewed.
Gotcha.
Because you can run into the restrictions on travel now are getting a little more intense
with
everything going on. And so don't get yourself stuck in that position if you're trying to go on your honeymoon cruise and you're like, oh, my passport's not going to expire for another 6 months. There could be issues. So play it safe. Get that and plan early on getting your passport renewed.
Good advice.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. We will be back shortly and talk about some great DIY ideas for you and your partner as you're putting together your ceremony and reception. The gold sponsor of today's podcast is Debbie Payne with All Points Vacations. Deb has been an active supporter of LGBT equality for years, and she has enjoyed working with her clients and helping to create honeymoons, vacations, and holiday experiences that are customized, outrageously fun, romantic, and budget-friendly. Deb is always attentive to ensuring that our LGBT clients are not only set up to have a wonderful getaway, but that the location, hotels, resorts, guides, and cities are particularly welcoming to LGBT couples. You can meet Deb in person at one of our upcoming LGBT wedding expos, or we invite you to visit her website. She can help couples and singles from anywhere across the nation plan their next adventure. www.allpointsvacations.com. All right, now we're going to talk a bit about DIY ideas and trends for your 2016-2017 weddings. Cindy, would you like to start us off?
I just have to say that makes me shudder.
Oh, yeah.
I am not the crafty person, so, you know, I just want to put my head in the sand and la, 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 la.
That's okay. You married well.
I did marry well. Thank you on that. But, you know, I was trying to think of, like, what's a good rule of thumb? If you're gonna jump into this for your wedding, you know, what is a good rule of thumb for that? And I thought, okay, as I took a deep breath, because again, I'm not the crafty person. I felt like, you know, if your project can be worked on and finished a few months before your wedding date, in advance of your wedding, and you are a crafty person, it's probably a good fit that you could do it. But if it's a type of project that is really time sensitive or it's close to your wedding date, I don't know. I might steer away from it, and hire that professional, but
that's good advice. I also just want to interject by saying, it depends on your personality.
Yes.
But for some people, having a little artistic thing going on the side while you're planning the rest of your wedding is actually quite relaxing.
That's true.
So
for me, it makes me have nightmares.
Night sweats. Yes, exactly. That's not what you want. Yeah. But if you're the DIY type person where crocheting or, you know, glue sticks and all of this actually relaxes you at night when it helps your brain settle down, that's a good thing to keep in mind as something you actually might want to choose to do.
I will just remind our couples that the closer you get to your wedding date, your free time becomes shorter and shorter and shorter because you're trying on the dress or you're doing the alterations for your clothes or you're finalizing that seating chart or the menu or whatever.
And you also have to, you know, if you're working, you have to work extra to build up, you know, so you have the ability to get away.
Exactly.
For whether it's a long weekend or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, you got to get all that stack off your desk in advance.
That's right.
It's good to have a plan in place with DIY projects.
Yes.
You need to not procrastinate. You know, some cases, if you're dealing with live flowers, it's not going to be something that you can necessarily do weeks or month in advance. But if it's something you can put in place to help save yourself those little moments at the end, then absolutely do it.
And if you have crafty friends or family that want to help, I say let them.
Delegate,
baby. And I mean, you know, you have to really trust that they're going to get that done. But heck yes, if you have good family and friends that are just awesome, crafty people, go for it.
And a lot of times they love it. They love to be asked and invited and to be involved.
That's right. So some good DIY projects could be, you know, like invitation or paper items.
Yes.
Right? Decor.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Even fashion accessories.
Yes.
Favors, as we talked about a little bit with the floral. I thought this was interesting. Uplighting. If you want to have uplighting at your event, it's a lot more affordable to rent them and then have maybe one of your best people help set them up. Mm-hmm. And they're really easy. I mean, the uplighting has become just simple to use. You know, they don't catch the curtains on fire. You're good.
Talking candles next to the curtains. You can find electric lighting.
Exactly. I mean, that's not technically a do-it-yourself. You know, you're not
right.
making
you're
it.
You're not building it.
You're not building it. But just, you know, I was kind of thinking too, like, how much can you save on your wedding if you incorporate some of those, you know, do-it-yourself.
Yeah.
And uplighting, that's easy. You rent them, put them up.
Yeah.
You know.
Cool.
Get one of your best people. Another thing, again, you're not going to be sitting there sewing your linens.
Do the Betsy Ross.
Do the Betsy Ross.
Yeah.
But we have found with our expos sometimes, it is much cheaper to buy your linens. Mm-hmm. The only downside to buying your linens, as we have found, is the ironing.
Yes.
Is horrendous. Those suckers are hard to iron.
They are.
They are very hard to iron. But if you
and
are not,
the storage, you know.
Well, then what you do is you sell them on eBay afterwards.
Oh yeah. No, I just mean prior.
Oh, prior to. Yes, yes. You have to have very good hangers. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get them nicely hung up. But the ironing can be a problem. But and if you have a smaller wedding and you're not going to have a whole bunch of linens.
Yeah.
Right?
You might keep them later for your next party.
Right.
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 But yeah.
And so that's a great thing to save a little money on as well. If you're going to do something yourself, buy the linens, iron those linens, or one of your friends or family that are good at ironing.
And we have found a steamer works better than an iron with those linens.
Yes. Yes. And again, if you don't want to keep them, you can resell them on eBay. eBay has tons of items that people are reselling from their weddings.
Yes.
That's another great saving, you know, a lot of decor items.
That you can buy.
That you can buy.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. That have already been put together.
Right.
So
right.
That's another little thing. Kind of a DIY project I had kind of in that middle of maybe you want to think about it or not is the florals. Because you really have to be, you know, pretty good at putting together the centerpieces or the bouquets. That makes me shudder. So even though we know the trend is more freeform.
Right? Yeah.
You still want a certain form to the freeform.
And you need to practice that. If you are working with live florals, yeah, you need
yes.
to make sure you practice. Or if it's already a talent you have, then you're good. But, you know,
right.
You can't just assume you can put florals in a vase and then it's going to work.
On right. the other end of the spectrum, though, if you're a perfectionist,
yes.
it can become a little bit tedious if
yes.
you're wanting everything just right. So it's okay to remember you can let it go a little bit.
Freeform it, baby. That's
absolutely.
The thing for 2016, freeform. But, you know, florals, yes, it all depends on your style and if you feel like you can do that. So I put that kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I thought, okay, the easy, you know, DIY projects were those invitations, those paper items, those decor, those kind of things. Those are kind of easy in my humble opinion. But then the florals, I was like, whoo, boy, that's kind of middle of the road, like if you want to go down that road or not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you are looking to save a little bit of money, you can go and buy your flowers at your local farm, you know, or have that set up with the farm prior to your wedding. So
mm-hmm.
that can help too. Also using like potted plants as centerpieces again.
Yeah.
Those can also be keepsakes later for your family
right.
members.
That's right. And then I had the leave to experts.
Yes, absolutely.
Leave to experts would be like music,
mm-hmm.
food, photos. In my humble opinion, those are all things that I would probably want to leave to the expert and not necessarily be back there, you know, making the barbecue while I'm about to walk down the aisle,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of thing. So it's a little bit of what I had for DIY.
Yeah, Kodak
it.
Disposable cameras are great in most instances, but for your wedding, you might want
well,
to.
Well, those are fun. I mean, back
yeah.
in the day, when
be
it, before it was digital, and now, you know, with everybody has a smartphone in their pocket. So, but back in the day, when I used to take, photographs, having that disposable camera was great on the tables because people that were sitting there would take photographs of the people that they were with that the hired photographer might not do. Or they know that that's grandma, or they know that that's Aunt Sally, who you don't see but once every 5 years, you know, and so-and-so is dancing, you know, together, things like that. So that was always good. So now that everybody has their smartphones, that works as well, too. You get lots of great spontaneous photographs that your hired photographer is thinking about this lane versus that, so that's good too. But
well, that was a great overview, DIY ideas and sort of you know, categorizing
right
the meaning of DIY.
That was my job.
All right, excellent. You did it. Check, check. Ira, what have you got?
Well, one of the fun things to give Cindy nightmares I was looking into were the floral centerpieces, and not necessarily just floral centerpieces, but some various different ideas that you can use at the reception table. One fun idea I found that I hadn't even thought of, it's so simple but very neat, is Jenga, the Jenga block game. Having some of those sitting on the tables for guests to write little messages. You get a really fine point pen, they can write fun little messages, and then you've got those keepsakes later. So I thought that was a fun idea. Another thought was, you know, if you have kids or if you have adults who want to play, is having a bowl of Legos at each table so they can put together little projects while they talk and do various things like that. Another is having candy. If you have M&Ms in your wedding colors, you can have various glass jars there with some florals around them that you can do yourself to have there. That makes it a little more fun. Guests can, you know, get a scooper and have some dessert along
I'd
with
want
their,
a big scoop for my M&M table.
Have big M&M bowls. Yeah. Have a variety there.
But yeah, you could have candy centerpieces, not just florals, or game centerpiece. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's a fun approach. Another one that I love and I found, which is a little more rustic, but is wedding centerpieces that are terrariums that you actually take. It could be florals. It could be, you know, more of a traditional terrarium. You could use air ferns, different things like that to give it a more rustic, more natural look. So those were fun. A lot of people using natural elements like parts of branches that are glued around a glass candle holder to create a certain effect with the lighting, which is also very fun as well. Or having big flowers sitting in a bowl of water. That's just very simple, very elegant, but still it creates an impression. So those were some of the fun things. We'll also post these on the blog so you guys can get a better idea of some of these ideas that we actually pulled together on Pinterest, so you can see those there. And I'm sure you guys have some other thoughts too.
Sure. Well, back to the vase with the flowers. You know, they have those water-friendly little tea lights now that last for hours. They really do. And, of course, the little pieces of glass, that kind of thing, or stones that you can put in the bottom of the vase.
Coffee beans.
Yeah. But those little lights, I mean, you can put them in a terrarium, too. You know, those little lights go a long way and really add a nice ambiance.
Combining the lighting in any way you can do it. I'm a big fan of that, to create the ambiance, and I think that's very beautiful.
Absolutely. Lollipop trees, all kinds of fun stuff.
I saw a really
centerpieces
neat, and really neat photograph on Pinterest with they had it was kind of the long table, you know, they weren't the rounds, it was long, like wooden, pretty, it was kind of a chic rustic wedding kind of thing, right? So it was the long table with chairs, and above it was a string of just light bulbs, you know, like just naked light bulbs, so to speak. You know, a string across. That was really pretty, I thought.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Oh, yeah. There's so many ideas.
Simple.
And then, you know, the vase full of heather or something on the table. Just so natural and beautiful. I went sort of the more traditional route with DIY ideas to give couples and our listeners out there some hands-on crafty ideas.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Those favors and keepsakes. That probably comes to my mind as the number one way to do some DIY projects.
Yes.
Save a little on your budget, but also to give something away that maybe you've had a hand in directly makes it just that much more personalized for your guests. Craft beer, homemade wines are a big one, of course, still these days. Don't forget those custom labels, you know, when you make the craft beer and you put, you know, you and your partner's name and the wedding date on it. It's just a really nice little takeaway keepsake. Some people love to make homemade jams and preserves, things like that, and you can make those, you know, you can can them in a way that is just so pleasing and so cute, that follows right along with your wedding theme and your colors, using fabrics or some trinkets from the craft shop to really dress up that little can or jar or what have you that goes away with everyone. And to display it at your reception, you can put it in a basket, you know, with the fabric or those little lights or whatever that just makes it so cute. So there's a lot of fun ways to do that. I know, for instance, our niece, Lauren, mm-hmm. who'll soon be working with us more here at Rainbow Wedding Network, when she and her husband married, they got ceramic pieces and made homemade coasters for people to take away.
Those were neat.
That was just, you know, an easy thing. That was just fun, you know, mm-hmm. another, and it went with the craft beer that they also made. It just sort of went together. If you're super crafty and you have a particular thing that you like to do, like imagine you love to do origami, for instance, you might not think of that as a keepsake for your wedding, but just think on the reception table, if you have them displayed there, first of all, people can play with them while they're eating or mingling or chatting, but then they're invited to take one home with them mm-hmm. to sit wherever in their house as a little reminder of your special day, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fun. Other ideas, Cindy, when you and I got married on the beach, what I did was, being that it was a very casual beach wedding, I put together kerchiefs, remember, different colored
yes.
kerchiefs, and inside were little goodies, a trinket that was heart-shaped, some Jordan almonds for tradition, a magnetized photo frame with a photo of the beach in which we were married with the wild horses, magnetic frames. Sort of DIY, sort of not, but if you use magnetic frames as a keepsake, put a picture of you and your partner or the place where you were married. I mean, it just is a nice way that people can go home, put it on the fridge, immediately they remember your day.
Yep.
And those magnetic frames are just so handy and so easy. And of course, they can use them for something else later if they want to change out the photo. So that is a nice DIY. Ceremony accents as opposed to favors and keepsakes, as you mentioned, is another way that we can do it ourselves. Easy to put together pre-made bags of birdseed if
right.
you're going to have folks send you off after the reception. And you can do that in a bunch of different ways. If you want to just tie them together in a little bag of tule or a sack, you know, a paper sack that is recyclable, that's easy too. But you can dress those up. You know, you can dress up a paper sack by writing on them or having people at those reception tables write on them with markers so they have something to do, you know, all kinds of different ways. You can make that interactive or you can do it yourself in advance. If you want to think about having rice at your wedding because it reminds you of the days when people threw rice at the brides and grooms as they headed off to their honeymoon. Back when my sister got married in the 70s, my mom and grandma taught me that you can mix white rice with food coloring and then bake it for 10 minutes and it retains that color. So I've used that at our expos to make rainbow colored rice for decoration, and it's a lot of fun. You know, you can put it in separate bowls or vases or just mix it color after color in one vase, stack it up. And when you've got colored rice in a rainbow, I mean, it says gay wedding right away.
Right.
And it's, again, it's not going to be your main center focal point, but it's just a little added decorative that can be fun. The silk florals, you know, we talked mm-hmm. about DIY florals with
right.
real live flowers and terrariums and that kind of thing. You can also use silks.
Yep.
They're amazing these days. I mean, if you haven't taken a look at silk flowers lately at your local craft store or online, you might be surprised at just how realistic they look, how inviting, how the colors really pop. And you can do so much, whether it's creating a bouquet or a centerpiece or accent piece or a little accent that hangs on it, you know, the aisle of chairs as you walk down the aisle, all kinds of things you can do with silk florals. And you know, craft stores have accent pieces too that you can add, whether it's fabric or a string of buttons or beads or what have you. I know my sister, when she recently married her partner, she made her own silk bouquet and then she tied on little frames
mm-hmm.
that she inserted pictures of loved ones who couldn't be there, including our parents who had passed away. so that they could symbolically walk her down the aisle.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that meant a lot to her heart, you know.
Right.
So easy, right, DIY-wise, but so meaningful.
I could even do that one.
You could. I mean, she didn't have to make the frames.
Right.
She did buy those, but she inserted the photo, you know. So it's partial DIY, but very heartfelt and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
She also made wreaths to decorate the altar area. They married, you know, they've been together 25, 30 years. They got married at a favorite restaurant in an alcove there. And you think, well, how beautiful can you make that? But they did.
Yeah,
they made fabric, you know, wreaths that were DIY, hung that with some silk fabrics in their ceremony colors, lavender and green, and dressed it up so beautifully. So easy, very budget friendly. The DJ brought in some uplighting to add to it as well, and it fit them perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, a good budget saver, but worked out so nicely. Other DIY accents you can make are boutonnieres.
Yes.
I've seen them made with florals, silks, or other things like feathers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a nature person or an animal person, you know, you can use all kinds of things. You could use tufts of cotton. You could use, you know, the favorite fabric from, I don't know, the t-shirts you and your partner were wearing when you met. Or, you know, I mean, you could make boutonnieres and little accent accessories out of all kinds of things. If you're going to have a ring pillow, most couples don't these days, but if you are, I mean, you could crochet something to put on top. You could sew the pillow, then you could add an accent with a crochet piece that you've made. That way the pillow can become an accent pillow for you in your home after. It doesn't just hang out as a ring pillow in the closet.
Right.
You know, it becomes an actual keepsake. Or you could give it away to, I don't know, a family member who you know is about to get married as well or something like that. So all kinds of DIY ideas that can be very personalized. A lot of couples don't use a ring pillow. They use something else, and you can get totally crazy and wild with that. All kinds of thoughts come to mind from, if you are having that natural rustic wedding, you know, someone can carry a branch that's been polished or, you know, added to with twine and fabrics to make it look really fun, and a pouch there hanging with the rings inside. You know, you can be really creative. We recently featured a Lord of the Rings themed wedding on our website, and something like that would fit in really nicely. Or the lantern idea.
Yes.
You know, you can
mm-hmm.
use lanterns even as a method of carrying things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tie the rings there. So lots of ideas there with those ceremony accessories. One ritual I wanted to mention that would be sort of a DIY idea that involves your guests, that I've sort of come up with different ideas that have come to me. And it may sound a little strange to start off with, but I think it's a really neat idea. And that is, of course, you'd invite your guests before the wedding to gather a bit of soil or sand from their home, their yard, a favorite spot like the beach that they love to go to. And they bring that little sample with them to your wedding. And at some point, your officiant invites them, anybody who wants to participate, to come forward. And they pour their sample into a vase of some sort. And that way, you've gotten this collection of soil from all the loved ones who want to participate. And then later, you all can take this collection, have it in your home, or you could pour it into the yard of the new home you're going to buy together as a couple. You could put it into your garden because you're going to grow this garden of food and flowers for yourselves as a new happy couple. You know, it's very grounding and touching, I think,
mm-hmm.
for people to contribute to the ground, the soil right. of your relationship. So that's just a neat ritual that's kind of a way to incorporate DIY as well. So there's some ideas on DIY trends and fun thoughts. Again, I think if you are a crafty person, during the heat of those wedding plans,
exactly,
doing a little sewing or getting out that glue stick or going to the craft store to find just the right heart-shaped locket can be so relaxing. So keep that in mind if you are a crafty person.
Yeah.
Don't talk yourself out of doing DIY just because you think, oh, it might not look good enough. I really need to get the pre-bought stuff. It actually will look very beautiful and
mm-hmm.
have your heart in it. So if it's something that will relax you and help bring your personal touch to the ceremony, go for it.
Well, I think that's what's neat about DIY for your weddings is, it's not, yes, you know, yes, there's a financial side to that. It does help you save money on your wedding or allocate the money that you have to things that you want to leave to the professionals. So that, yes, that is a part of that. But the also others, a couple of other sides is, if you are that crafty person, that just brings out your personality, mm-hmm, and brings your personality to your wedding, which, right, is awesome. And it can be a stress reliever for the people who are crafty, like you're saying. That's good therapy before your wedding because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
You know? Huh. So there's all kinds of aspects there to a, you know, it's not just one avenue that you're, yeah, looking at. And like we said earlier about the trends with weddings, is really bringing your personality to that wedding and including your guest and bringing that as that is your wedding. It's not a cookie cutter kind of wedding anymore. It's all about you and your personality, and bring it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't be afraid, even for people like me who are afraid of DIY.
And if you fear it and you need some inspiration, you can go over to our website at rainbowweddingnetwork.com and click on our blog. We'll post some links there, lead you over to Pinterest, where you can spend hours and hours looking at some pretty amazing ideas people have come up with. Some of them are a little more professional, so you might need a little help putting them together. I've seen chandeliers of all kinds of light bulbs. There's fun lighting and floral ideas. So absolutely go take a look and find some inspiration there, and you might end up doing something you never thought you would.
Surprise yourself.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Thank goodness for Pinterest and all the fun things that are out there now.
Hours you can spend, let me just say. Right.
But yes, check us out online at rainbowweddingnetwork.com. There's links there to our Facebook, Twitter, and other accounts as well. Check out the blog there. And of course, our calendar of LGBT wedding expos. That's available on the main website, or our sister site, which is available at samelovesamerights.com. And we'll be right back. Today's gold sponsor is Deb Payne with All Points Vacations. An active supporter of LGBT equality for years, Deb is always attentive to ensuring that her LGBT clients are not only set up to have an unforgettable holiday or honeymoon, but that the location, hotel, resorts, guides, and cities are particularly welcoming to LGBT couples. Deb enjoys working with you and your partner in customizing travel experiences that suit your taste and your individual vision of fun, whether it's a romantic resort vacation, a European river cruise, amazing adventure experience, or simply a weekend at the beach. You can meet Deb in person at one of Rainbow Wedding Network's LGBT wedding expos, or she invites you to visit her website. She can help couples and singles from anywhere across the nation plan their next adventure. Available online at allpointsvacations.com. All right, now we're going to talk a bit about current events, is our custom with our podcast here at Rainbow Wedding Network. Of course, it's election time here, woo-hoo, in America. But first, we thought it would be appropriate to sort of pause and reflect about just a few of the highlights of motions forward that have been made with regard to LGBT equality here with Mr. Obama as our president.
That is, you know, I'm glad we're doing that because, you know, people can get frustrated on how slow the process can be and how long we have fought for equality and how far we still have to go. You know, as we mentioned this weekend in Raleigh, you can get married in the morning and get fired in the afternoon in a lot of states still. So we still have a lot of work to do, but, you know, just looking back a little bit on President Obama's record for the LGBT community, it's a lot. There was a lot of really big things that were finally taken care of, so to speak, under his 8 years of leadership. So things like he signed the bill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell way back in 2010, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I was like, was he the one who did? I mean, it seemed like it was so long ago. I know it did. It probably doesn't if you were in that.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a part of that craziness of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell with our military. But I was like, wow, that was back in 2010.
Just think, young people soon won't even know what that phrase meant. Right. You know, it'll be forgotten.
It'll be forgotten. It'll be in the history books. Yeah, that is neat. Ending the legal defense of the Defense of Marriage Act in February 2011. He announced, the President and Attorney General announced that the Department of Justice would no longer defend Section 3 of DOMA. That was in 2011. Signing historic hate crimes legislation.
Seems like that's been furthered a lot the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ensuring hospital visitation rights for LGBT patients and their loved ones. That's huge.
Yeah.
That was huge. Developing and implementing a national HIV/AIDS strategy.
Right.
You know, expanding access to health care under the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, we can be under the same policy now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Saves
right.
us money and
for the first
gymnastics,
time.
Right. You know, of having the extra policy going on. So
for the first time, I'm carrying one, you know, healthcare card,
right?
that has all of our names on it. For the first time, I don't have mine, and I don't have yours with Keston. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one.
Yeah.
I just walk in now and hand one card. It has all of us listed. It's like, wow. I know we touched on this before, but the rental car still astounds me.
Right.
We rented a car this weekend to go to Raleigh, and it was just like, oh, we're married. I can just
drive.
I can just drive.
If you want to. We didn't have to pay the $16 a day to have the extra driver waiver attached.
Yeah. I still go back to when we say we're married, people believe us.
Yeah.
Just a simple thing. It's like, wow, you believe me. I don't have to like tell you I'm really married in California, but not here, but I'm really married in my heart. Just we're married. It's just weird. Equality for LGBT federal government employees. Just all kind. I mean, the list is just goes on and on, and you can find this.
Can you talk about the one? Was it the Department of Interior?
Oh, it was about ensuring locations or
they
for
made
our
it.
History.
They made it like a department now that is looking for places that need to be listed as historical sites or something that are important to LGBT history.
Right, for historic sites and events.
Right.
Things like that. Preventing bullying against LGBT students.
That's come a long way.
That has come a long way.
The past couple of years. So many people have helped with that effort, and that's been amazingly great.
Right,
yeah.
And there's lots of lists there on whitehouse.gov that you can find if you want to reflect back and say, wow, I mean, there was just a lot. And, of course, I think it's really awesome that marriage equality happened under his watch.
Yeah.
I think that's really, you know, that makes my heart happy too. You know, that we got that in 2015.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember how, I mean, it may seem, you know, 40 or 50 years ago seems like a long time, but in the scope of history, how close we still are to events like Stonewall.
Right.
And even 10 or 15 years ago, how far we've come from that point forward just in the past 8 years since the Obama presidency to having a president who's actually opened up the conversation nationally, to have someone to stand out there. And it may not seem like a lot, but when, like you were pointing out on the list, when you look at the list, it really is a huge amount of progress we've made in the past 8 years for our community. And there's definitely a long way still to go. But just thinking back to even when I started here at Rainbow Wedding Network, the conversation on the phone, more of the, you know, Bible verses and
mm-hmm.
reminders that people were not going to be that open and accepting, to the point that we are today, where more people are open, accepting, and supportive in the business, in the small business community.
Right, right. And we, like I said, we still know we have a long way to go, but just looking back on these 8 years, you know, like I said, it's hard to believe that was 2010 that he signed that for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he's really advancing, you know, the rights of LGBT people worldwide, too. I mean, he goes to lots of places that and still talks about, you know, the rights for LGBT people all
yeah.
over. So, and of course, now we have the 2016 election. Wow.
Big deal.
Big deal.
I know a lot of people, when we go to our LGBT wedding expos, we talk to a lot of couples, and you can see it in their eyes that they feel somewhat disheartened, as is often the case with regard to election cycles. Can we really make a difference? You know, does my one little vote matter? Does this candidate really matter over another candidate? And I always encourage them to truly do their research, do their homework, listen to their instincts. And yes, go out and vote.
Yes, very important.
Locally, you know, yes. Your local representatives, as well as who will be our next president. These are decisions we all must make together, and it's part of our responsibility. And I don't mean to preach, but when you wonder if it really does make a difference, think where we'd be if President Obama had not been our president.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If it had been McCain or Romney.
Or Romney, yeah.
I mean, where would we be? We'd be in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be dire, but it would be different. And it does make a difference. So as hard as it is to listen to the rhetoric and to not get frustrated, you just have to weed through that and go ahead and get out there.
As simple as talking about bullying in school starts with your school board.
Right.
It starts at that local election level. Even if you don't have kids, it still starts there.
Right.
It still starts there for kids who are in school, who are LGBT, that are facing bullying. It's about what policies will be written, what will be enforced, all of that. So
how the protocol is set up for the police and the emergency folks and all of that.
Yes.
All of that is set by those local mandates. So you have to have a hand in that. And as we're finding with technology and communication, we are all interconnected. So we might as well take responsibility for the fact that those policies are put in place here and not there. And we understand there's ramifications. If this child is bullied at school from age 8, that kid might grow up and do something to me later, you know, because we are all connected. So we have to take an active role whenever we can.
That's right. And voting is our number one, you know.
It's our way to make change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine if all the people who can make a difference sat home and thought, oh, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers add up quickly.
Yeah, so. We have to be responsible. And that's the number one way you can be responsible is just simply go out and vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for, what your party affiliation is, just vote.
Yeah.
Vote, vote, vote. I was going to say something really important, and it went right out of my brain.
If we think of the numbers, I don't know the number offhand of how many people identify as gay or lesbian in the country. But if you think of how many millions that is.
Lots.
If we all showed up at the polling places on election day, we would outnumber everybody else because they don't care enough to show up. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're in the millions. We can make a difference. I know monetarily we contribute $450 billion a year to the economy. We have financial muscle, and we have numbers behind us. So don't be disheartened is all I'm saying.
You know, I thought it was interesting. We're just now, we don't watch a lot of television, like local television. We'll watch Netflix or something, but we don't watch our local channels. It's the bonus of living in the woods and not picking any of that up, but we don't do that. But we did watch a little bit. I have started to notice, because we're close to South Carolina's market, we're starting to get a lot of those election commercials, the campaign commercials, and it's a lot of Republican commercials right now because their primary is going to be happening here in just the next few weeks, a couple of weeks really, for the South Carolina primary. And, well, you know, what I've noticed is the LGBT community is not the center of the focus on the commercials.
That's true. You're right. That is a neat change.
That's a neat change for many years. Remember back to 2004 with the federal amendment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, federal marriage amendment.
Yes. Woo. I mean, we were in that cycle for a long time.
I remember getting flyers in my own home mailbox with rainbow flags telling me how horrible and what sort of horrible thing the gay community was, and that was rather insulting to think that candidates would use us as such a scapegoat. In a lot of cases, I do think we were used as a scapegoat. Yes. It was a hot button issue to drive the election, to drive their supporters out to the polls. So it's nice to not see that happening anymore.
The code words you're hearing is protecting families. That's kind of a code word against marriage equality. You know, I'm going to protect the family.
Or at least in
but
the
now it's
stage.
Like yeah, now it's in a code stage as opposed to all out in your face. You know,
we hate the gay people.
Yeah.
You know, you must come out.
Doesn't feel like progress, but it is. People are learning they can't be as vocal about preaching that kind of hate as they once were.
And then, yeah, they'll say protecting marriage or protecting the family. That's kind of code words that they're using now. But I noticed that just with the few commercials.
Right.
We saw one from Rubio. We saw one from Cruz. I don't think we've seen anything from Trump yet. But I think there was a Chris Christie one that I recently saw. And nothing was blatantly anti-LGBT. And I was like, wow, we are coming along, people. This is a new election cycle, and we are not in the spotlight, which is a good thing. Yeah. I feel bad for the people who are in the spotlight. You know?
Yeah, immigration.
Yeah, it's like, I feel bad for those folks, because it's like, oh, it stinks to be, that it's your turn, that you're the one that's in this news cycle with the, you know, we must come out and vote against you as a community, which is ridiculous. But we're not.
That is heartening.
We are not. We are not there. Love to mention that in 2007, we got to meet Hillary Clinton when she was campaigning here in Asheville.
She does have in her keep in the museum somewhere, the Clinton Museum, one of our Same Love, Same Rights lapel pins.
That's right. We gave it to her.
Mm-hmm. And she also looked at our magazine.
She signed a copy.
Remember, it took her a second to look at it and think about it, and then she nodded and signed it for us.
I remember she said, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Because we presented a copy of the magazine. She signed the cover of it. And she said, oh, this is cool. And we gave her a lapel pin. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. That was when it was harder to talk about, too. The doors hadn't been opened so wide. And she actually took pause to think about it, say thank you.
Yep.
Realize what it meant. So that was, I think that was a powerful moment.
Yes, because that was back in the day that no one could be for marriage equality. It was just civil unions. It was not, they were not allowed, even though we feel like it in their heart.
They knew better, because, equality, should I think about it?
Right. Yeah. We knew in their hearts that they really did support marriage equality, but it was taboo to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just 2007. Mm-hmm. And now, we're not even mentioned in the news or in any of the commercials, because
almost
it's a
decade
deal.
Later, it's hard to think, but we have made a lot of progress.
I hope whoever becomes our next president, we can continue on with some advancements for equality for our community, like we can get married in the morning and not fired in the afternoon.
There are so many advancements. I mean, just, you know, we had a friend recently get a phone call that her and her partner's foster children were ready to be picked up.
Yes.
That couldn't have happened 2 years ago in North Carolina.
That's right.
You know?
That's
they
right.
They can foster children now as a lesbian couple.
Right.
Thank goodness, because there's lots of children who need help.
Absolutely. That's right. There are lots of kids out there who need homes.
I'm surprised that LGBT adoptions haven't hit the political cycle, but it hasn't.
You could, Knock we know one. From experience, that so many gay and lesbian singles and couples want to have a family.
That's right.
And if you are a smart candidate, you might actually play on that and say, I will help forward the cause of adoptions for the LGBT community. Vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wise.
Or fostering. Or
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun year in the silly season of election. That's for sure. It's going to be interesting to see who it narrows down to. I think as a Democrats, I think we've got two excellent candidates out there, so it'll be interesting to see which one becomes the nominee.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out in November.
It is going to be very interesting.
I'm sure we'll talk about it some more on different podcasts, but we'll keep saying it. But yes, go out if you're not registered to vote, register to vote, and get out there and vote. That's very important.
Make a difference. Yeah. Many of you volunteer already on local boards and that sort of thing, and we appreciate that. Absolutely. We may not know you personally, but it does make a difference.
Yes.
So thanks to all of you who do that. And as hard as it is to wade through that rhetoric, we all have to do our part. So
yeah.
It is important, too, to remember to go ahead and register to vote now, because depending on where you live,
yes,
there are rules. You can't register X amount of time prior to an election, so you want to go ahead and get that in place so you don't have to worry about it later.
We're still fighting that crazy North Carolina voting laws right now, but yes, it is. That's a very good point. Make sure you know how far out you can register. Make sure you get that done.
And voting in the primary is important. Some people think they can blow that off. You need to be there. You need to show up.
And Marianne's right. Thanks for everybody that's putting a sign in their yard or making phone calls or licking those envelopes, sending out those mailers or whatever you're doing for your candidate. It is very important. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it.
All right. We're winding up another podcast here at Rainbow Wedding Network. Again, please check us out online on the website. We've been around 15, almost 16 years now. All kinds of great resources for you and your partner as you plan your weddings and your lives together. Again, it's available at rainbowweddingnetwork.com, sameloveSameRights.com, travel ideas, parenting resources, all kinds of great tips for you. Dig into that website to find all we have to offer. Ira, where are we on Facebook?
We're at facebook.com/rwncom. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, we're getting started with some ideas on Pinterest. So if you go over to Rainbow Wedding Network and click on that blog, we'll be posting some links there and you can get lost in those hours with some creative ideas.
And upcoming expos, because we are busy around here. Mm-hmm. We are about to get in our own silly season with all these expos. Washington, D.C. will be February 21st. Columbus, Ohio, February 28th. We have a jam-packed March, and we're getting jam-packed for April and May. Our calendar is changing almost weekly, so make sure you visit our website and get some tickets for some upcoming expos, especially for that D.C. and Columbus, Baltimore, Bucks County, Charlotte, Chicago, lots of upcoming locations. So make sure you get the tickets and come out and see us and say hi and that you've heard our podcast.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you don't see your city too, always keep checking back. We're always posting new events. Just click that Expos tab there on the Rainbow Wedding Network homepage.
We've been to 29 states now with well over 150 events since 2003. We look forward to meeting you out there. All right, take care. We'll be back with you soon with another podcast.